So this past week, Sage and I made a very quick visit to England, briefly visited my family, and then we represented us, St. Albans, at the annual meeting of something called the Compass Rose Society, about which you'll hear more over the months and years ahead. But in brief, the Compass Rose supports the work of the Anglican Consultative Council and other missionary initiatives of the Archbishop of Canterbury. It's a funding source, but more than that, a witness in a broken world and a challenged Anglican communion. They were very pleased to see St. Albans represented there, because it turns out we were a founding member of the society 25 years or so ago. So we flew out to England via New York. The timing was kind of tight. And so the first flight from here to New York was not quite long enough for me to see the entire movie that I had started watching. And I'll finish it at some other time. It's called First Reformed. Maybe some of you have seen it. Essentially the story of a minister who gets caught up in a fight about environmental responsibility. He and his wife are friendly, but their marriage did not survive the death of their son in Afghanistan. And at one point, they are together watching a group of teenagers sing. And afterwards, she says to him, "Remember what it was like?" "Remember what?" he asks. "Remember when it seemed as if your whole life was ahead of you, with all the possibilities open to you?" I couldn't help but think about our Rite 13 observance that was coming up, which took place at our 9 a.m. liturgy today. What we do around the 13th birthday of a young man or a young woman is a ceremony not unlike a Christian bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, a rite of passage that recognizes that great changes are about to take place in the lives of these young people, including changes to their relationships, changes in their bodies, changes in their intellects, and so on. One of the taglines that we might use to describe the service might be that we become men or women by the passing of time. It just happens. But we become adult by the choices we make and the communities who support us in those choices. I can tell you the ritual is real and meaningful to watch, but the times I've been through it as a parent are the times when it has really caught me and touched me and reminded me that I simply have to trust God to work in the lives of our children as they grow. None of us, in the end, can control or govern the life of another. All we can do is give those we love and care about everything that we can, that we believe is important for life, and then put our whole trust in God's grace and love, celebrating the possibilities that are before us, and praying that those we love may make good decisions for which we hope we have laid a good foundation. I started ordained ministry at Christ Church in Raleigh many years ago. My first boss, a chap called Dan Sapp, now dead, used to love to talk about, point out that we want our children to grow and to risk and to experience life and to try things and be out there and be absolutely safe. It's not possible. Not possible if we really want our children to risk life. And so the whole business, yes, Rite 13, but life itself, all of life, is really comes down to learning how to trust, how to put our whole trust in God's grace and love for life. In most ways that are important, trust is a synonym for faith. Meaningful life is about having faith. It is said that every one of us lives with one or two, maybe three, perhaps, spiritual issues that come back to us in various forms, questions, challenges, come back to us in various forms our whole life long. There is an old psychoanalyst's shortcut for talking about this. They say that if your tendency is to depression, then your spiritual issue is meaning. And if your tendency is to anxiety, then your spiritual issue is death. And of course, you probably encounter both issues over the course of your life. You can have both at the same time, if you want. Just like the man, actually, of today's reading from Mark. "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" he asked Jesus. And Jesus first gives the formulaic answer: obey the commandments. If you want right relationship with God and others forever, the obedience to the law is the path And obedience to the law is the sign for you to set aside your anxiety and live life filled with meaning. Well, the man says, I have kept the commandment since my youth. One of the ways, incidentally, we know that he was rich, because you had to have resources to keep the commandments, keep the law. So Jesus looked at him, and Jesus loved him, and Jesus told him the truth. If you really want to deal with your anxiety, you must learn to put your whole trust in God's grace and love. Sell what you own, give the money to the poor, you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. The challenge for all of us is learning really to put our trust in God for life. And as we practice finding God trustworthy now, and as we discover that trust in God is the pathway to meaning, so perhaps in the hour of our death, we will be able to trust that the one who gave life in the first place is trustworthy for life, come what may. But the disciples, then as now, just like us, find Jesus' teachings about possessions and money to be perplexing. Then who can be saved? Jesus answered, well, not those who believe they can control anything, like the man who kept the law, but those who trust in God for life and find God trustworthy. For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. We teach here that it's as we engage spiritual practice in a community of spiritual practice in a conscious way that we find ourselves, almost without trying, living more meaningful, rich, anxiety-free, courageous, and loving lives that we imagined possible. And I'm here to tell you that's true. I find that to be true in my own life. Like you, I've known challenging times. I've known things when life hasn't worked out as I planned. I've known disappointment, and I've known despair, and I've known anger about things not working out how they should, in my view. And yes, there have been plenty of those times since I came to conscious faith. Faith is not an inoculation against challenge, quite the reverse. In years past, I could easily spiral into depression. But I believed then, as I believe now, that practicing the faith is something from which we can benefit, even and perhaps especially when we don't feel like it. So life, as most of you know, many of you know, has not worked out for Sage and me as we expected and hoped when we moved to DC a couple of years ago. But here we are, doing fine and mightily blessed to be here at St. Albans. I've been surprised. I've surprised myself that without medicine or therapy, this time I really have so far been able to trust in God somehow, and life is working out, you know, just fine. We moved on the we're not dead yet plan, and it turns out we're not. It's life. And life is better when we learn to trust. There's no perfect scheme for summarizing spiritual practice. But as you know, I boil the core practices down to three. First, worship, and then service and generosity. And I've shared in the past that when I find myself getting anxious, that sooner or later, that anxiety will devolve to around scarcity, often scarcity around money, and that I can change my perspective or turn the prism or turn back to what really matters by making a gift. So this week, our annual appeal gets underway. You'll get letters in the mail. We'll be invited to give generously. And while we have great momentum and much to celebrate and support in new and renewed ministries in this parish, that's not really what we're about in the end when we offer our gifts. Because it's through making a sustained and sustaining commitment that we practice generosity in support of what God accomplishes through the many and varied ministries of this wonderful parish. The young women and men with whom we celebrated Rite 13 today, they're not exempt. And nor are our children. It's never too late to start learning really how to trust God for life. Now, Jesus is prepared for us to be tempted, like the faithful man of today's gospel, to want to know exactly what is expected of us so that we can imagine that we can allay a fundamental anxiety. Tell me exactly what I need to do to inherit eternal life. Tell me exactly what is expected in this request for generosity. That's why this sometimes gets called the Sermon on the Amount. And the fact is, we don't really want to be given a number. We know the rule is give 10% of what you have, what you bring in. Someone will ask, if you're like me, someone will ask, well, is the tithe calculated before or after taxes? And my question to you is, well, which are you doing now? Let's work on generosity first and then worry about the rules, shall we? Perhaps think in terms of a proportion or a percentage of your income. Be honest with yourself. How much are you giving? How much do you want to give? And see if you can increase that percentage. You get the idea. Our annual appeal is not only or even first about funding the ministries of this parish, important though that is, allowing the finance committee and vestry to be good stewards and so on. It's first about the gospel. It's about learning to put our whole trust in God's grace for life, in good times and in times of challenge. It's about being faithful so that we find ourselves able to grow in trust, to grow in faith. It's about bearing witness to, teaching our children and each other, especially as they change and grow in that community of spiritual practice, that they with us can address the fundamental spiritual challenges of life, however they present themselves, and claim the promises of the gospel. A portion of the psalm, 22nd psalm, that we sang in this service is the psalm. It's a psalm of profound trust that was on Jesus' lips while he hung on the cross at Calvary. What must I do, Jesus? And he answers, follow me. What must I do, Jesus? Follow me. In our customary time of silence, I invite you to consider, if you haven't already, how you will respond to the invitation to life with the money entrusted to your care this year. In silence and in response to the gospel, let us pray.